Good morning, church. Turn to three people around you and say to them, whatever you want to. Got you, ne? Onverwacht. Sê vir hulle wat jy wil. Wat jy wil, kan jy maar sê dan. The Lord bless you and surprise you this morning with His goodness and the accuracy of His word for your life. Bless your faithfulness to our first-time visitors. We trust that you feel relaxed and right at home in the presence of God. We do things a little bit differently, but rest assured that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that Jesus Christ truly is the way, the truth, and the life. Can you say amen? I don't know about you guys, but me personally, I thoroughly enjoyed the sermon series that we've done about how to live the blessed life. I'll never look at the Beatitudes in the same way again, and God has just taught me so much from that, and I trust that you'll allow the Spirit of God to continue to let that develop and grow in your life as we live for the Lord Jesus and follow hard after Him one day at a time. This is the start of a sermon series that we're going to speak about, something you seldom hear spoken about in churches. There's lots of conferences and gatherings that we have together to generally make us as the Church of Jesus Christ feel good. And I don't have a problem with that because, let's face it, we're going through difficult times in the world and in South Africa. And how many of you could do with a little bit of feeling good? We can. However, the book of Ecclesiastes says that there's a time and a place for everything under the sun. This is the time to not necessarily feel good, but to talk about something which is seldom preached upon, and I know certainly from myself. And I thought to myself, Mozzie, the amount of years that you've been ministering, have you only gotten to the point in your life where you want to speak about this now only? Hoekom is it masoor? And it just goes to show that it's an indication of where we are as the Church of Jesus Christ concerning this particular topic. It's not the type of topic that get people cheering and screaming and say, yeah, going to share with their friends and say, yes, this Sunday's message was about this and that and thee and thine. It's not the type of message that gets you wishing the helmets come around a second time so you can put more money in because the preaching made you feel so good. But needless to say, it's something which needs to be spoken about. So I think some of you are thinking, yes, I should have stayed at home this morning because here come no thing. But I encourage you that it is on the heart of God, and God makes this possible, and this is on God's heart for us, and He wants this for us, and He's made it possible for us to enjoy and experience this. And this is the topic called holiness. We're going to take a few weeks and look at the concept of holiness. I remember growing up as a young Christian, before I was a Christian. I was in boarding school because all the local prisons by us were full. So there was a boarding school out of the town that was available. They had a spot, and I was sent there to be sorted out. And at boarding school, for the first time, we were forced to go to church in different groups, and they asked you what church do you belong to, and I didn't know. But there was a group of friends that I was with, and I said, I want to hang with these folks, so let me go to the church that they go to, because church was just not something that was part of our lives. And we went to a church. And as a result, you go to different churches and you come back to the boarding school, and then you get times you can break up into different groups and just discuss things of the Lord. And I was with this boy. I think I was 10 years old when I was in boarding school, and this guy was, I think, about a year younger than me. And this guy was filled with the Spirit, and we'd pray in tongues. And I remembered what that did to me as a young boy. It was like, because obviously, when he prayed in tongues, the presence of God was manifest and could be felt. And, you know, I was all into this. This was like being exposed to the supernatural in a way that I'd never been exposed to before. And then I remember us going to the, wat het ons ou genoem wat in charge was van die hele kursus? Ek weet nie wat nie, but this was like a serious string onnie. We took chances with the other onnies, but not with this guy. Housemaster or something. Wat se ding? Die ding. And I remember I was going to him and saying, no, we want to go over there and under the tree and we want to talk in tongues. And he's like, okay. So he was like, you know, what's that about? And so I'm like, I don't know, this guy does it. You know, and then this younger guy, would you explain to him, he says, no, it's just when the Holy Spirit prays through you. And I'm like, oh, I was fascinated with this. And then he said something which really got me, my mind thinking about it along a different line. Now, he made a statement, I can't remember who he was saying it to, whether it was one of our other friends or one of the teachers. And he said to them, meaning me, you are holier than me. And I wondered, why did he say that? For many years, as I grew up, I wondered, why would he say that? This guy's filled with the Spirit and I'm living for the devil. Not deliberately, but I wasn't born again. If you're not living for Jesus, there's no demilitarized zone in the Scripture. There's no gray area. Can you say amen? I share this from time to time. People talk about Satan worship as if it's the people that have pentagrams on their roof or drink cat's blood or sacrifice babies or dress in black or whatever. Maybe they're a little bit more vocal about what they do. But if you're not living for Jesus, who are you living for? I'll leave that to your imagination. And I wondered, why would that boy say that about me? Well, I knew I wasn't living for Jesus. I was just doing my own thing. Why would he say that? And then years later, I realized that it was because of this. At face value, I had my pose down pat. You see, at face value, I acted all piously. And I came across as being religious. Meantime, inside, that wasn't the truth. That wasn't who I was. That guy was walking a walk with Jesus, filled with the Spirit of God. Whereas me, why would that youngster say of me, you are holier than me? And this whole thing of holiness caused me growing up thinking this, that a holy person is somebody who is too good to be touched by the world, and somebody that is so good that the world wouldn't want to touch them. The concept of holiness was something that, like, it's something that can't be attained. If you're holy, you like glow, and you don't actually walk on the ground. You just hover just above the ground, you know, and maybe your hands do this. Get these religious pictures of baby Jesus in a manger, and he's laying there like. That's what I understood holiness to be. And if you like those kind of pictures, you just get over that. But I don't mean to hurt your feelings or whatever, but that's what I understood holiness to be. You see these pictures of Jesus with this like halo around his head, and I imagined holiness to be this concept. Well, if you're holy, you can't really be of much use to the world because you're too good to be touched by the world. And you are too good to be in contact with the world. But that is so not what the Scripture teaches. And I've since learned what a holy God means. And the Scripture says that there are angels moving around the head of God, and all they have been saying since the time where they were created is, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And it's true, God is a holy God. And much has been said, and as we get closer to the day of the rapture and the return of Jesus, etc. Much has been said about the return of Jesus Christ. And I want to say this, that I believe that Jesus Christ is not coming for a struggling, battling church. He's not coming for a church that is compromising. He's not coming for a church that has such a strong desire to reach out to the world. Can you hear what God is saying, church? I don't believe Jesus is going to come back for a church that's compromised. He's going to come back for a holy, spotless, blameless bride. Not a bride that compromises. Not a bride that lives as close to the world as possible, just with enough assurance to make sure that it's going to go to heaven. I believe that Jesus Christ wants to come back and find a holy, blameless, spotless, righteous, pure bride. And I believe God is calling His church to be a holy church in these last days. To be a holy church that makes a difference, that lives holy. You see, if I took I'll use myself as an example. If I took these patches off or whatever and never spoke and used the name Jesus or whatever the case may be, by my lifestyle, the things that I do, the things that I say, how I act, will people be able to see that I'm a Christian? Or will I blend in so well with the world that they won't even know that I'm somebody that claims to be a son of God? You see, that's the challenge. I really believe the Spirit of God is calling His church to be a holy church. Now, when I start thinking about the concept of holiness, it's like, I want to encourage you, church, that it's not this aloof thing that's far off that we cannot reach and attain, but it is something that God has made possible for us to live in. I want to start off by reading Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 45. Old Testament scripture, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, says the following. For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. This is from the New King James Translation. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is one of the early scripture references where holiness is spoken in association with how we must be as people. I'm the Lord God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. You see, holiness for the Christian is not something that is optional. If you say that you believe in Jesus, you should be acting like Jesus. If you say that you love God and love Jesus, you should be wanting to do the things that God wants and that Jesus wants for you. You see, the biblical standard of love for God is not the things that you do, but by your obedience first. How did Jesus measure love? Love is in the world is measured by how much you give to the church. Love for the world, love in the world's eyes, like, you know, how many scriptures you can quote, or how many Bible courses you've done, or how many degrees or qualifications you've got theologically. Love for the world is sometimes measured like that. Jesus' standard of measuring love for us, he says, if you love me, you will obey me. So I wonder, in terms of our obedience to God, how much do we actually love God? Think about that. In terms of our obedience to God, how much do we actually love God? So if you say, for all my life in ministry, I've been hearing people tell me, Mozzie, ek glo in Jesus, ek het my God, dis wonderlik. Maar dan leef dan vir hom vir 'n slag net so bietjie toe. It's one thing believing your God and believing Jesus, but love Him by obeying Him. And God requires us as His church to be holy. So as the church of Jesus Christ, what does a holy church look like? What does it look like? If God says, be holy, for I'm holy, what does a holy church look like? Hebrews 12 and verse 14, it says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Wow. I wish that wasn't in the Bible. But actually, it's good that it's there. It says, pursue peace with all people, and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. It doesn't say, pursue peace and believe in Jesus, and then you'll see the Lord Jesus. No. So what does my belief in Jesus help me if I'm not being obedient to Jesus? And if I'm not pursuing peace and holiness? If I'm not pursuing holiness? The word pursuit is an interesting thing. It means you've got to chase over, you've got to chase after it. You've got to do things that get you in the direction of getting to that thing. You pursue it. You pursue it. I'm thinking back to police days when we talk over the radio. I'm busy pursuing him. Wat het ons gesê? Ons is, ek het vergeet, but it was used all sorts of language over the police radio. We're saying we're chasing this guy. We're in pursuit. We're busy chasing this person. And it's like that. Chase down this holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. So I wonder this morning, in terms of our holiness. Now, your mind is probably thinking, yo, I'm not doing enough. How many of you, be honest, have been thinking that since I've started preaching? You see, there's the challenge. We think that there's things that we have to do. You think, okay, I've got to pray more, I've got to read more, I've got to do more to be holy. But people, we can't. You see, that's the trap. If I start thinking I've got to do things to be holy, it becomes religious deeds and acts. Whereas God has made it possible for us to experience a life of His holiness in us. If I think I have to do things, maybe a step in the direction of holiness is repenting of a sin. And saying, right, this is what I do. Ek weet ek maak droog. Is nie lekker by God nie. Ek gaan dit nou stop. Ek draai om. Ek loop nou in die richting. Maybe that is the case. But holiness is more a case of somebody living in you than you doing something. That's holiness. A case of somebody living in you than you doing something. And that somebody is Jesus. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Holiness over here in this verse means purification. And in Leviticus 45, it means being sacred or clean. Now, rightly so, for years, decades, hundreds of years, maybe who knows how long, X amount of time, God has been taught and brought across as an angry God that is cross with you and wants to zap you with lightning. That's not true. And so, the concept of grace has been taught a lot in the church, and it's true. God is a God of grace and infinite love and mercy and compassion. But grace never was and never will be a license to sin. Can you say amen? Much has been taught in terms of grace. Say, yeah, because there's grace, I can mark as what I smock. After all, the Apostle Paul says, all things are lawful for me. Literally, Paul says, you can do whatever you want to, and you can. In terms of New Testament grace, you can do whatever you want to. But don't be fooled into thinking that there'll be no consequences because of the concept of grace. The scripture says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will reap. People ask us, okay, why don't you do this as CMA? Why don't you do that? Because you're not allowed to, right? No. The Bible says we are. We can do whatever we want to. You want to live for the devil, you can, but there'll be consequences. But grace never has and never was meant to be a blanket and an excuse and a covering for living the way we want to. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 2. These scriptures are from the New Living Translation, the second edition. Romans 6, 1 to 2. It says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of His wonderful grace? It starts off that chapter because in Romans chapter 5, it speaks about the fact that as sin entered the world through one man's act, Adam, so grace and life and peace entered the world through one man's disobedience. It says that through one man's disobedience, sin entered the world. Through one man's obedience, I apologize, Jesus, grace and life and liberty entered into the world. Say, great. So Adam het droog gemaak, Jesus het kom reg maak. Nou, as gevolg van Jesus Christus, kan ons so leef. And it's like, it's encouraging. And then it asks the question, so what does that mean? Can we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of His wonderful grace? Of course not, it says. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? So God is calling us to be holy people. God is calling us to be a holy church. To have holiness in our conduct and what we do. That's the church that He's looking for. Romans 6 verse 15, it says, well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Well, some people do. Some people teach that it's okay. Some people think it's fine. Ah, there's grace. There's grace. You see, there's a scripture that says that, and I'm paraphrasing, there's going to come a time when God's Spirit is no longer going to put up with man's nonsense. There's going to come a time where God's season and period and His extension of His grace and His love is unending and His mercy endures forever. But there's going to come a time, Scripture says, where He's going to stop putting up with man's nonsense. And He's going to have to be the righteous God that He is. You see, think about it in this way. I use this quick illustration. Let's say, for instance, one of your beloved family members fallen victim to a violent crime and their life is taken. And the suspect gets arrested and is brought to trial. Are you going to be rooting for that judge to be gracious? Just give him a chance, you know. He didn't really mean to, like, pull the trigger 5 times, you know. I mean, he had a bad day and, you know, he's having a rough time at home and there's pressure at work and, you know, he was a little bit irritable. So just be gracious to him and give him a chance and unleash him into the streets to go and kill somebody else. You know, are you going to want the judge to be like that? What are you going to want the judge to be like? Justice must be done. Blood has been shed. Blood must be spilt. Aren't you? Come on, church. Now you see, God is a God like that. He's a loving, caring Heavenly Father, but He's also a righteous judge who has to judge what is right and what is wrong. That is why Jesus Christ had to pay the price with His life and nothing and no one else but the blood of His Son Jesus, because He's a just God. He's a holy God who wants His church to live holy. That's the church that God is looking for. That's the church that will be powerful and effective in these times. Not a church that is wishy-washy, blends in with the world, and you can't tell the difference because there's so much of the world in the church as there is outside the church. Can you say amen? That's the church that Jesus Christ is looking for. And God wants this from us. Can we carry on sinning? Of course not, it says. Exclamation mark. Of course not. In other words, like, no. Because of grace, you can't just carry on. They can't just carry on. Now, when you were raising your child, when your child made a mistake and stumbled and fall and was learning to walk and tripped over its little bandy legs, het jy daai kind getugtig? Well, if you did, yes, see. And God, I wasn't raised by you, eh? But when your child was learning to walk, and it stumbled and fell when it was learning to walk, did you punish that child? But when that child was an age where it could receive, apply the rod of correction to the seat of knowledge, when the child could receive that, and it still did things deliberately, not because it didn't know, but it wou aspris droog gemaak, moes jy jou kind getugtig het. You're supposed to, because then it's different. Then the child is no longer just learning. The child understands the difference between right and wrong, has the further insight to act in accordance with that knowledge. Hulle weet al klaar wat is reg of verkeerd. Hulle het die verdere kennis om daar volgens te kan optree. Is dit nie so nie? Dan moet daar gevolge wees van hulle optredes. Stem hulle saam met my mense? And that's what it's like with this. Now that we know what God requires, I can't just footer foot on my own aside, oh, there's grace, there's grace, there's grace. You can't do that. God wants me to be holy. Why? Because I'm growing in the Lord and I've gotten to a place in my life where I understand, God, there was grace. The scripture says, God extends grace in a time when the people didn't know, when there was ignorance, when there was ignorance. But I want to say to you, if you're in this church this morning and you're ignorant, don't put up your hand. Dan het jy nie geluister nie. Because by the grace of God from this pulpit has been taught the truth and nothing but the truth. The truth that sets you free. And the truth tells you that there is grace not to be abused, but God requires that we live holy. I told you there wouldn't be amens and yay, preach it, Mozzie. I told you. We understand when a person becomes born again, we don't immediately want to stop all our sinful ways. I don't know about you, when was the first time when you in all sincerity gave your heart to Jesus? And hopefully after that you learned to give the rest of your life, not just your heart. And I say that because so veel keer het die mense opgekom and they say the Christian rhyme and they go across the road and there's tears of repentance or whatever and they end up just giving their heart to Jesus op 'n Sondag in 'n rympie. And what about the rest of their lives? And then nothing changes. Wow. And when a person gets born again, I mean really born again, immediately, I don't know about you, I didn't immediately want to stop marking droog. How many of you, like once you got born again, suddenly you wanted to stop everything that you know was sinful? How many of you were like that? You suddenly wanted to stop everything and you stopped it. Jy lieg, man. Jy lieg. Ten minste aan die buitenkant het jy opgehou, maar hier binne het jy nog steeds hy goed begeer. Come on. Some of the things you stopped immediately, but I remember after I got born again, it was great, I met Jesus, snot en trane, dinge het verander. Man, op die stadium was hierdie vlees, hierdie chassis was maar net 20 jaar oud, nee. En die 20-jarige chassis het nog steeds gejuk na die dinge van die wereld. It still wanted it. And then I'd go and I'd experience the things of the world, but something was different. Something just wasn't the same anymore. And what had gebeur? The more I started feeding the spirit man wanted more of the things of God and less of the things of the world. More of the things of God and less of the things of the world. So ladies and gentlemen, this holiness thing is a walk and a process. It's a walk and a process. Yes, some things stop immediately in our lives, but for most people, except the two saints that raised their hands or whatever, for most people, you get born again, and it's a process. Your mind needs to be renewed. Your mind needs to change. I was 20 years old, so there was this 20-year-old mind that had his ideas, his opinion, his understandings, his life experiences that then had to start to be changed one thought at a time with the things of God, the mind of God. How does God do things? How does Jesus do things? What does the Scripture require? What is a true Christian really like? I remember when I, a couple of years down the road with my walk with Jesus, an uncle of mine, I had the privilege of sharing Jesus with him. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to seeing him in heaven one day. Yes, little one, I'd grow up, this naughty oak, leading his family to the Lord. But yo, it was incredible, and it still is. Hallelujah. He asked me, he said, Mozzie, what does a Christian look like? And I remember it was one of the first times that question was asked of me. What does a Christian look like? What is a real Christian? And I remember, because he asked me that question, I had to think about it. I had to think about it. You say, in Afrikaans, they say, who a die, he's a groot Christen, die, nee. He's a groot Christen. Well, that disqualifies me. Look at me. I'll never be a big Christian. But verstaan jy? Come on, man. Even as it is, when he's a groot Christen, die, hoor. Well, what is a big Christian? And he asked me, what does a Christian look like? And the answer that came out of me taught me at that time. It's somebody who follows Jesus. It's not somebody who goes to church, because people come to church and don't follow him. They drive their car to church, and when they leave, they follow themselves and the world and the devil flat out. Come on, come on. A Christian is somebody who follows Jesus. You follow him. And then you also live like him, because the majority of the people that followed Jesus were the crowds. What did the crowds do? I love you, Ellen. The majority of the people that followed Jesus were the crowds. And what did those crowds do? They crucified him. So holiness means following Jesus and making a decision to live like Jesus. Elias had a shirt made like that. Christian, to live like Jesus. That's why I'm a Christian. To live like him. That's the call of holiness on our lives. Not to, in the name of grace, the marks is wat ek smaak. Say, yeah. That's the church that God is looking for. A holy church. How many of you have heard a message preached like this before? One person. One person. Two, three. Three people out of a church of 100 and something this morning have heard a message on holiness. Why? Because we don't like to hear it, isn't it? We don't like to hear it. That means, Colette said it in a way, that means I'm going to have to change. It means I'm going to have to change. You know, we like to come to church, yeah, just, you know, how you've lived from Monday to Saturday, just smeared it, my two, with grace. Grace and covered it up with grace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just smeared it, my two, and as jy die gebou verlaat, kan jy maar steeds voortleef soos wat jy wil. Grace, grace. Meantime, God is calling his church to be a holy church. I don't care if people don't shout and get excited about this. I know I want to be holy. And I know you do too. Hallelujah. You see, as our minds are changed by God's word, we desire our old sinful ways less and less and less. So our lives as Christians, what do they look like? What do they look like? Here's the deal. And are you ready for this, church? Okay. Let me just drink some water to brace myself this morning. Our lives as Christians, what do they look like? So let's say there's a born-again man and a born-again woman. And here it comes. Are you ready, church? And they love each other. They really love each other. And they believe they're destined to spend the rest of their lives together. This born-again man and this born-again woman. But they live together. What does that look like? What does that look like to the world? I'll give an example. If I go into that little room and you hear the door open, you hear the door close, and when I come out doing this. What does it look like? I've just used the toilet. Not complicated. Must I do it again slowly? So I go into that room, the door closes, you hear, and I come out. And hopefully I rinse my hands. What does it look like? I've just used the toilet. Okay. So a man and a woman living together, not married. What does it look like? Okay. If you still don't understand, come see me, I'll draw you a little picture. So if this church of Jesus Christ, who bears his name, Christian, says one thing, but looks like that, what does it look like? Now, you see, I just want to tell you, if you've been lied to and you're thinking I'm judging now, that's not judging, that's love. You see, here we go, let's use this. This is a Shure PG58 cordless microphone. Have I judged this microphone? But then how come when you address the issues of sin, the world says you're judging? That's not judging. I'm calling it the way I see it. It is a Shure PG58 cordless microphone, people. That's it. So when you call the fruit in people's lives, why does the devil want to tell you you're judging? It's not judging. I put a note on the pulpit here for Colette that there's a Kawasaki. It's registration number, wada, wada, wada. There's lights on. Did I judge that bike? Comment. I didn't judge that bike. I called it the way I saw it. So if the fruit in my life is the fruit of sin, and somebody points it out, are they judging me? Come on, man. Come on, church. It's the most misquoted, misinterpreted, misunderstood concept that there is in circles of faith. Oh, you're judging me. You're judging me. No, I'm not. I'm calling it the way it is. And I love you enough to want to tell you that the road that you're on is the path to destruction, my brother, my sister. That's love. That's love. That's love. So now, that's just the one thing. Why did God lay that on my heart? Well, you know why? Because you see so much of it in the church. You see so much of it in the church. And that's just one. This is week one. Bear with me. Your issues I'm getting to. Your issues I'm getting to. That's just one. That's just one. Yeah, but it's grace, Mozzie. It's grace. God understands. I wonder, does he? Does he? Does he really understand that I'm willing to trample the blood of his son Jesus underfoot? Does he really understand that I'm willing to take the completed work of the cross, and because there's this thing called grace, I'm deciding, you know what, that's cool, but I'm just going to dabble in the ways of the world a little bit longer because I can. Does Daddy God really understand that? I'm asking, you know, and this particular verse, I remember when my life was spoken into concerning this. My life was spoken into concerning this. Where, Mozzie, doesn't matter what's really going on behind closed doors. But as a child of God, what does it look like? And you think, oh, well, I'm not living to impress anybody. I don't care what they think and what people see. Yeah, maybe not, but I do care about God's opinion. God's opinion means everything to me. What God thinks of me means everything to me. Means everything to me. And this was spoken into my life, and I learned a lesson. I learned to listen. I said, Lord, and this is the deal. It's only in the King James, not the New King James. The King James says it this way. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22. Abstain, means stay away, from all appearance of evil. No other translation puts it like that. In other words, it mustn't even look like sin. You see, why must the Church of Jesus Christ live in such a way where the things that we do, it looks like sin? I said, when I come out of the toilet and I'm doing that, what does it look like? It looks like I've just spent a penny. Taken a slash. And I'll leave it there. Colette says, leave it there. That's what it looks like. So if I'm claiming to be part of the body of Christ, with Jesus Christ as the head, with Jesus Christ as the head, why does my life look like something else? Relax, I'm not going to fight. I'm just getting a little bit warm, okay? Why does my life look like something else? That's holiness, people. That's holiness. We're going to stop there this week. I'm going to encourage you to, in the days that lay ahead till we get together again as a church, I'd like the deep end to come up, and I want us to do that resurrecting again, to meditate on this. And maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, oh, Monty, this holiness, this is a different ball game altogether. But the good news is this. Earlier on in the sermon, I said that it's not something that's unattainable or so far out of our reach. Holiness doesn't mean that you're so good, the world can't touch you, and you cannot come and live into the world. Holiness is possible because when we were still at war with God, God sent Jesus Christ to die in our place so that we can be made to be brought to a place of peace with Him. When we wanted war with God and we're warring against Him and His ways, the Scripture says that in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So terwyl ons nog droog gemaak het, het die Here kom sterf. He didn't wait until the world said, okay, God, we're ready to change now. And we're ready to be little holy Joes, and we're ready to be happy, clappy Jesus freaks. No. While we were still running on, He sent Jesus to die in our place. And because of His grace, because of His power, because of His Holy Spirit, we can live lives that are holy. We can come to a place in our life where we can say, Lord, I realize I need You. And maybe you're there this morning. Maybe you know that there are things in your life that you realize, well, in the definition of holiness, Mozzie, this is not actually it. Well, then you're in the right place this morning. Can you say amen? Amen. God is a gracious God, and He's a God of love, yes, and He's a holy God that will enable you by His Spirit to live a life that is holy. Live a life that is holy. I said earlier, some of us are thinking that holiness means I've got to do more things. Well, the first thing you need to do is realize that nothing you can do can make you holy. It's all because of what Jesus Christ has done. Would you stand with us as we close off in prayer? Two kinds of prayers I just want to pray this morning. Maybe you're living for the Lord Jesus and with every fiber of your being and to the best of your ability and trusting God's ability in you to live like Jesus. You know there are areas that you actually cannot go to and write the word holiness on. Or there's something in your life that you cannot go to and put a label on it called holiness. And you're struggling with that thing. Right there where you're standing, and I'm standing with you this morning. I'm being accountable to you this morning. There's anger issues that keep sticking its head up in my life where I get angry inside. And I think all sorts of ungodly things because of anger. Anger in my heart. That's a thing that I cannot take and put the label on holiness. And if there's an area in your life where that's like that, right there where you're standing, would you pray about that? You don't have to pray word for word, soos wat ek nou gaan bid, maar daarso in 'n neetedop kom dit neer op om te sê, Abba Vader, is 'n liefdevolle hemelse Vader. Papa God, dankie vir Jesus. Dankie vir U lewe. Dankie vir U boodskap. Dankie vir U opoffering. Dankie vir die teenwoordigheid van die Heilige Gees in ons midde, in die wêreld en in my hart. Here, ek bely, ek het nog nie oorwinning behaal oor die ding nie. Draad dan op na U toe. Here, ek wil soos Jesus Christus wees. Ek wil nie een mens wees wat die publiek dan raak sien en iemand anders te binne in my hart en in my gees en in my siel. Ek wil rein wees hier binne in. die begeertes van my hart wil ek ook hê, moet heilig wees. En Here, ek sukkel hiermee. And if you're praying like that, call it by name. Say it for what it is. Bring it before God in prayer and say, Lord, forgive me. In my case, Lord, forgive me for this anger. In Jesus Christ's name. Thank you that you died, Lord Jesus, to cleanse me and wash me clean of this. Lord, I want to walk in victory from today. I wrote about holiness, Lord God, in a way that has really challenged me. I pray, Lord, that you explain to me what it means. That you show me what it means from you to me, not just what Mozzie has said. I want you, Lord, explain it to me, what it means to me. And help me to live like that. Lord, I'm not praying this prayer out of emotion. I'm praying this prayer because I want to change. I desire to live differently. When I leave this building today, Lord, I want to be different. And if you're praying that prayer, God sees the desire of your heart that you're sincere and dis opreg and dis rein voor hom. Dis nie 'n selfsugtige gebed nie. Dis 'n goddelike begeerte. Holy Spirit of God, would you anoint us? Anoint us, your people, Lord God, to live lives that are holy, Lord. That there's a holy fire burning on the inside of us, Lord God, that we'd want to consume everything that is not you. Not because we're afraid of hell, but because we love you, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Lord, we want to live like this because we love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, as people pray this prayer, Holy Spirit, fall upon us. Fall upon us, Lord, and anoint us to live like this. In the name of Jesus Christ. If you're standing here this morning and you're not even sure that you're going to see Jesus one day, you're not even sure that you're going to spend an eternity in heaven, you're not even sure what's going to happen to you when you die, if there's anybody like that this morning, please raise your hand. Anybody? I'd love to pray with you. Anybody like that? Okay, yes, sir. Thank you. You can hand my neerse daar so on my right hand side. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Bless you. See that? Bless you. You can put your hands down. I'll say, bless you at the back. You're not even sure, and that's fine. Maybe you've lifted your hands before or whatever, and you're not sure. That's fine. Let us pray for you as many times until you are sure. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Those gentlemen, you know who you are. I'd love for you to come forward. Come forward straight away. I want people to pray with you. Gentlemen, come. Just come. This is not about who sees or who thinks, or it's not about church membership. You're serious about God. I want altar workers behind these gentlemen here, please. There's another chap. Doctor, that's it. Bless you. Bless you. God bless you for being humble enough to get up out of your seat and to come forward. There was another one. I think there's one more here. I think that's about it. We're going to pray with these folks, men with men. Like I said, if there's anybody else and maybe you haven't come forward and you know you should, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Now's the time. Don't come and try and grab me afterwards. Now's the time. If you're not sure, come forward. We want to pray with you. I said clearly that this is not about